Hello and welcome to CICK News. First up today, we'll take a quick look at the wildfire situation evolving across the province and Northwest BC. There are currently more than 200 wildfires burning across BC as of Monday evening. More than 60 of those are fires of note. Most are burning in the southeast, Kamloops, and Cariboo regions due to the extremely dry conditions there. There are also a number of new fires in the Prince George and Northwest Fire Center regions as well. The Northwest Fire Center is currently tracking 5 wildfires, 3 of them new, reported in the last 24 hours, and 2 fires now deemed under control, the largest of which is near Ugar Lake, about 4.3 hectares in size. The other fires near Bob Quinn Lake, Iskut, as well as Kidd Park, south of Terrace, are all less than 1 hectare in size. However, the regional district of Balkhin-Achaco is issuing an evacuation alert. As of noon on Monday, residents of the Cutoff Creek area from approximately 60 kilometers south along the Kenny Dam Road and 6 kilometers west along the Natakits 500 Road are asked to prepare to leave the area if it is deemed necessary due to a wildfire in that area. For more information, you're asked to contact the RDBN at rdbn.bc.ca or call them at 1-800-320-3339. We will continue to update you about the wildfire situation as it develops. To keep track of all the latest provincial wildfire updates as well as evacuation alerts and orders on your mobile phone, refer to the BC Wildfire app. Now for our featured story. In the wake of recent tragic discoveries of unmarked graves at former residential schools in BC and Saskatchewan, not to mention the hundreds already documented, the usual Canada Day celebrations this year fell silent across the country. Instead, many took to the streets to reflect and show solidarity with our Indigenous friends and neighbors, support that is greatly needed at this time as there are sure to be grimmer discoveries in the coming weeks and months ahead. The story of these disturbing discoveries is one of truth. As Canadians continue to grapple with our troubled past and try to make sense of what really is truth and reconciliation. Over the past couple of months, with the assistance of ground-penetrating sonar, 215 unmarked graves, many believed to be children, were discovered at the Kamloops Indian Residential School. Soon after, another major discovery was made by the Cowessess Nation at the site of the Merivale Indian Residential School in Saskatchewan of 751 unmarked graves. And then, just last week, 182 unmarked graves were found at a site of the former St. Eugene's Mission Residential School in Cranbrook, BC. All of these so-called schools were managed and operated by the federal government along with the church. About 60% of them were run by the Catholic Church, but the Methodist, Anglican, and United Churches all had a hand at one time or another in running these places. Many of the records kept at these schools still have not been released. In Northwest BC, every community also had an Indian Day school. Here in Smithers, it was the St. Joseph School, which still stands today. In Gitignau, it was the Kitwankul Indian Day School, which was demolished last year. And in Iskut, it was the Clapan Indian Day School. But I could go on. There are also 3 residential schools listed that housed dozens of children from across the Northwest at various times over the decades. In Port Simpson, at the Crosby Home for Girls, operated by the Methodist Church from 1892 to 1948. In Kitimat Village, it was the Elizabeth Long Memorial Home for Girls, also run by the Methodist Church from 1908 to 1941. And near Fraser Lake, Le Jac, one of the most infamous, run by the Catholic Church from 1917 to 1976. All of these places and the students, some that survived, others that didn't, have a story. On July 1st of this year, many in Smithers and the surrounding Indigenous communities gathered to pay tribute to those who endured terrible abuses and lifelong traumas that are clearly still being felt today, in the hopes of continuing to uncover the truth and find a path forward together.
I'm known as Randall Alfred Mitchell. Well, one of the things that I'm the first generation survivor. My late father went to Le Jac, and as did my 3 younger siblings. That people think that we're not affected by it. as I said earlier, my late father passed some things down to me unintentionally. One of them was not liking white people. He was abused, sexually abused by a white priest. So I had to work on that. Today, I'm fine. I have a non-native son-in-law, and I just love him to pieces. My three siblings went there. They've been away from home over 10 years. And in my adulthood, the last 20, 30 years, I'm starting to get to know them, as I know my other five siblings who stayed home with us. So if they tell us that we're not affected by it, my children, I have four children. I'm an educator of language and culture, Wet'suwet'en culture. My late father didn't tell me, son, don't teach your kids your language. All he told us was about how he was beat, ridiculed, and strapped for speaking his language, Wet'suwet'en. So I thought subconsciously that if I taught my children my language, that they would go through the same thing as my late father did. When this came to surface 2008, when Prime Minister Harper read the apology, I thought of my late father. He never got to tell his story. He only told us the surface stuff. And this last few weeks when we first heard about the fines in Kamloops Residential School, it hit me like I just lost my father yesterday. That's how I felt. But as I said to our neighbors, Smithers, Hazleton, we're not asking for our neighbors for pity. We ask them to walk with us, stand with us.
What would that message be on a day like today, at the same time where we're still discovering more unmarked graves, we're still discovering more bodies, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon? So, you know, how can non-Indigenous people, non-Indigenous communities support their Indigenous neighbors right now?
Educate yourselves. Ask a lot of questions about the residential school. Just don't tell us to get over it. Learn about who we are as Wet'suwet'en as well. I'm part Gik'san as well. My late father was half Gik'san. His father was Wet'suwet'en, his mom was Gik'san out of Kispiox. Ask a lot of questions. Educate yourselves about the residential school and about our language and culture.
I know that you were involved many years ago with the Delgamuukw Stay Away case. I know a lot of things have changed in terms of Indigenous rights and title over the last 20-odd years. But this is something that we haven't really talked about until now. Although there were the discoveries in the apology from Harper back in 2008, a lot has changed since then, and it seems like we're almost talking about these issues every day. How does it make you feel witnessing what you witnessed almost 25 years ago with the Delgamuukw Stay Away case, seeing the right and title come to the surface, and now also seeing this part of the truth of reconciliation, the truth part of it, come to light even more?
Well, we're far from reconciliation. I think in terms of overall with our premier and the prime minister, where they're at. What they say and what they do is two different things. And we're still on the outside looking in as far as reconciliation is concerned. And from 25, 30 years ago, during the Delgamuukw Stay Away court case, I happened to be one of the translators. At the time, I was the only one that could write the language. So I had the privilege of walking 22,000 square miles with my pencil. Because our elders gave all their evidence in our language, in Wet'suwet'en. So all the named places, hills, creeks, mountains, all in Wet'suwet'en. Our laws, our fee system, and all our chief names, all that in Wet'suwet'en. And I had the privilege of writing that in our language. Back then, there was a little bit of education with our neighbors. So from the time when I was a child, growing up here, going to St. Joseph's, spending, coming into Smithers with my late mom, it's a little better how our neighbors treat us, especially in merchants. They don't follow us as much in stores as they did when I was a child, or even when my kids were growing up. That's 10, 15 years ago. So it's up to us to educate our neighbors. So.
Thanks, Ron.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chief Timberwolf, for always being at our events.
This is Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrell speaking to a crowd of about 150 people at Bulville Square.
To the folks that have come to be part of this complicated day, thanks for being here with open minds and open hearts. This is a hard day, Canada Day. We talked about it among council, what should we do? So thank you to the members of the Bridging Committee for providing a thoughtful way to have people come together to reflect on who we are, what this country is, what we want it to be as we go forward. I asked someone about what to say today, because this is very complicated, it's very emotional. And they said, just speak from the heart, so that's what you're getting. I don't have a speech in front of me, and there would be comfort from something written on a piece of paper. I stood here a few weeks ago when these shoes started to appear on the stage and thought about, what did it mean when the unmarked graves were found at Le Jacq? I grew up here. I went to the Catholic school. I remember people going to Le Jacq. I remember people going to Prince George College. So it's a part of my memory, although it's the memory of a child, where I didn't really understand what those things meant. So what did it mean the day that the bodies, the unmarked graves, were discovered at Kamloops, and then later in Saskatchewan, and more being discovered? It's kind of the story we knew, but didn't know with that pit in your stomach, the way we knew when those announcements were made. So what do we do with that together? We have to know what our history was. We have to feel the emotion of what's going on. What is each person feeling? I learned something the other night that I probably should have known my whole life, and that was just this simple line, that I am the expert in my own life. That I expect when I tell people my story, they will hear it as truth. It's my story. So when I hear your story, I have to accept it as truth. You are the expert in your own life. You know what's happened to you, to your family, how it's affected you, what you're feeling, and we're all trying to work out, what do we do to go forward? And so we have to accept that people will be at different parts, different points. We're grieving, we're mourning, we're confused, we want to look to the future. We need to figure out together what we're going to do and accept people's truths. Accept. Each of you are the expert in your own life. You know your story. Let's hear those stories together. Accept where people are. Accept and learn from our convoluted history. Not everything in our country is bad. Not everything has to be rejected. But we need to accept the things that are not great, the things that we're not proud of, that we wish we could take out of our history, but we cannot. So it is nice to see folks here today
you know, sporting whatever we're sporting, wearing orange, thinking the thoughts you're thinking, reflecting on history. The Bridging Committee called this a day of reflection. It's really appropriate. Reflect on our history, your own history, the stories of the people you know. And at some point, we're going to be ready to go forward together. We just heard Ron said he's not going anywhere. I'm not planning to go anywhere. I've been here my whole life. This is where my roots are. But together, we describe the future of this community, this valley, and how we shape our part of the Canadian future. So I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. I do want to also acknowledge the horrible day that many people in our province are having today as they deal with wildfire. The citizens of Lytton, other communities and residents are being evacuated that are literally running for their lives. So while we're reflecting, let's just take a moment to think about those folks too. And while we may be a little bit uncomfortable in the heat we're not used to, we are very fortunate still here. So let's reflect together, acknowledge the history, and then hold each other's hands as we move forward and shape our future together in this beautiful place. Thank you, Masai.
So today in this idea of, you know, more of reflection, mm-hmm. how are you feeling about it being a first generation Canadian mm-hmm. and having to kind of park that and also to look at our history and reflect on it a bit?
Yeah, it definitely makes me have a completely different outlook on Canada Day, that's for sure.
This is Inga, a public health nurse that works locally in Indigenous communities.
I feel, as a settler, like I really have to acknowledge where I live and where I'm working and to kind of acknowledge the people and who were the first people to land here, especially being somebody who came from Europe descent. Working in healthcare and in those communities, especially in the last couple of weeks, I've really seen it hard hit on how communities are coping with it. I had a really amazing tour of one of the substance abuse treatment facilities kind of near that area where I'm working, and they're seeing a lot more people coming forward speaking about their traumas with residential schools. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to be speaking up about it, but I think also like we need to make sure that the government is funding these, you know, traumatic experiences and make sure that they can find some sort of healing and from it. It's been really eye-opening in the last couple of weeks for sure. It's been crazy.
I guess as a non-Indigenous person, how do you kind of communicate some of these things to people, other non-Indigenous people who may not be aware of some of what happened at residential schools or how prolific it really was?
Honestly, I find it really hard to even put into words. Right now, it's more that it's just, for me, even when I am in these Indigenous communities and they're speaking about it to me, I don't even know what to say. And I almost feel like there's not much for me to say right now, and all I can do is listen and try to understand or just learn about the history. Because yes, we knew about it. Like, it's not history that's new. It's just now that it's being uncovered, it's really talked about and it's not kind of swept under the rug. So for non-Indigenous folks, how would I think I would just make sure that they're very aware of it and try to figure out a way that they can listen and understand and try not to be as prejudiced, I guess, and just understand where your judgments lie. It's just in your everyday interactions.
I guess just the last thing, like, how are you celebrating Canada Day today?
Reflecting, enjoying this kind of celebration, but also memorial of Indigenous culture. And drinking my coffee, going for a walk, staying cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Over Over the coming weeks and months, we will continue to bring you more stories about those who have been affected by residential schools in Northwest BC and what comes next as Canada continues to uncover its troubled history. For now, if you'd like to learn more about residential schools, visit the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation at trc.ca, or if you want to see where all the residential schools are located across Canada, check out the interactive map at canadianencyclopedia.ca. Thank you.